Okay.
And such forth.
And words to that effect. Right. Right. I'm kind of busy right now.
Busy right now, Napoleon. That's a movie I haven't looked at in a while.
Yeah, me neither. That bears reviewing.
Yeah. It's, did you, you are aware, as I know, that basically every actor in that movie is Mormon. But anyway, so that movie, as you may know, it doesn't have, like, swearing in it. It doesn't have drinking, I don't think. Sex, nothing. And so, like...
It does have tater tots, though.
It does have somebody violating some tater tots. And pretty egregiously. Episode 15, You're Never Going to Be Deprogrammed in an Echo Chamber. In this episode, your hosts Steve and Mal hurtle from point A to point B while mulling over the siren song of They Don't Want You to Know, the merits of finding a trust-mistrust balance, and the art of the con. Listeners, please be advised there are occasional cuss words in these episodes. So now you know.
But Mormons will watch that movie. It's like one of the few movies that they're kind of allowed to watch.
Okay.
And I know this because I have an ex-coworker. She still works for the same company, but not my branch.
A Mormon person?
She used to be.
Okay. I feel like The Big Lebowski is like vibe... compatible.
Yes, but it is the opposite in that way.
There'd be some cursing.
And
there's
some
nudity.
Sex. And some drugs.
Yeah.
He drops weed ash on his crotch while he's driving.
Right. He also, in the best funeral scene in all of cinema, ends up saying, after getting Donnie's ashes blown in his face... Same happens to Walter. When Walter is going on about, you know, many of our generation in Nam.
Yeah.
And he says, what the fuck are you talking about? He wasn't in Nam. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Walter?
That's another one I haven't watched in a minute.
You're such an asshole.
Yeah. So
so Mormons have to miss out on that.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's just different. It hits different. Our lives would be so different if we were Mormon.
They would be.
We would have seen Napoleon Dynamite for one thing, and not The Big Lebowski.
We wouldn't be putting that their occasional cuss words in these episodes thing before.
Right, we wouldn't need to.
Yeah.
So I think it was William Goldman, the famous scriptwriter of like. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and other movies, put in his book about working in Hollywood. He had a saying, one of his favorite sayings is, nobody knows anything. Meaning, you know, as far as like the secret of how to make a film successful or how you're supposed to make it or what you're supposed to be doing. Like, just remember in Hollywood, nobody knows anything.
I think that is as true in life as it is in Hollywood.
Right.
That, like, if you're looking around, you're like, everyone has their life more together than me. It's like, that may be true for some people. Like, if you're, like, severely fucking your own life up. But if you're just sort of bumbling through life, sort of getting by, I guarantee you everybody else is, too. Even people who you think are, like, severely on top of their shit... There's some part of their life they're not on top of. I promise you. And they don't like to talk about it. And you never see it.
Yeah.
I'm reading this novel that's written by one of the creators of Night Vale. Or like the creator of Night Vale.
Yeah.
And his wife, who is also an artist and writer. and he had just moved to New York, like, you know, right after the 2008 recession, mm-hmm. and, like, jobs were, like, not available and whatever. But he starts writing about this desert town where, like, you know, there's an early on episode where they're, like, involuntary, like, breathing, I think, is outlawed. And so you have to train yourself to make the conscious decision to breathe.
Now, this was fiction, or was this a...
Yeah, it's fiction.
Yeah, right, right.
It's like, yeah, sci-fi.
There's elements of that are familiar about that.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, Joseph Fink is from California, so it's kind of fun to think about it in the, like, you know, thinking about the kind of person who's out in California who does talk about government conspiracies like this, of, like, being like, and we all, like, know that this is true and blah blah blah, where, like, the lights in the sky above the Arby's are, like, government something, and then,
right,
they're reading our minds and whatever, thought crime. Where, like, I don't know, I've known people who are, if not actually that, like, borderline that, you know?
Right.
People who are like, the universe will provide for me, and, like, they take a ton of drugs, and then they make bad choices, and I'm like, girl.
I think a key element to conspiracy theory mindset is the unbelievable level of love for the feeling and the idea they don't want you to know.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Secret knowledge.
Big podcast doesn't want you to know.
Yeah, exactly.
You too can record a podcast on your phone.
It's like irresistible, really, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
I think also a big thing for, like, conspiracy theorists is the same exact thing that makes people susceptible to cults, because it basically is a cult.
Yeah.
Not only that they don't want you to know, but the ability to buy into whatever somebody tells you without doing any critical thinking or research. It's really scary how this could happen to you. You know, I saw this story of this, this person was talking about their father, who was like a, you know, a physicist or a geologist or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed a picture of him bringing them to see an iceberg when they were, like, a child. And then they were like, and now he's, like, a Facebook, Fox News, Trump supporter. Like, he doesn't believe in climate change.
Yeah.
You know? It's crazy how many people, like, climate change is a huge one, and vaccines are a huge one. And it's, like, crazy how many people you'll be talking to, and it's like they're a sleeper agent. And at some point, the conversation will turn to that, and you're like, oh my god. Like, you feel like you're in danger just being in contact with them, because it's, like, contagious.
Which is
also dangerous to them, because if people are like, I don't want to be around you, they're not getting exposed to different ideas. Not that, like, that's necessarily the thing. Usually people need something to, like, get them out of that programming, but you're never going to be deprogrammed if you're in an echo chamber, and it's really easy to find echo chambers online when, no matter what it is you believe. And so, like, especially if you're like, I'm immune to this kind of stuff because the people that I follow all believe what I follow. No. You need to expose yourself to different ideas and to know what other people are saying. Even if you're like, what other people are saying are wrong, just because you need to understand how easy it is to fall into, like, those kinds of traps. Well, you need to examine every part of your life.
Somebody, possibly Ernest Hemingway, talked about either he or one of his characters having or wanting to have a 100% reliable bullshit detector.
Uh-huh. Simply impossible.
Well, maybe a good one, then.
Yeah,
that's interesting. You just detected the bullshit in that statement. How meta.
Yeah. I mean,
I have a 100% reliable bullshit detector that just take this brief survey and give me your email address and your bank account number, and yeah.
I think there's a balance between trust and distrust where, like, sometimes people put their faith and their trust in something that doesn't deserve it, and sometimes people aim their distrust at something that doesn't deserve it. And it's like, you need to have both. You need to be skeptical and question everything, but you also need to be able to trust someone in your life, because you need somebody to be able to tell you if you're making a bad decision.
Right.
And also, you can't walk through the world just treating everybody with jaded mistrust.
Yeah, it's not a happy state of affairs.
Because it can be isolating.
I also believe that people, by and large, with obvious exceptions, are trustworthy. I think
I agree with you.
Human sort of civilization, the DNA of civilization is that people do, for the most part, try to be, you know, trustworthy, because there's a sort of species-wide sense that that's probably the best way to live in society. Obviously, there are people then who take advantage of that.
Right.
They bank on that. That's how the con man is able to con.
That's why people will cut ahead in backed up traffic by going in the lane on the side.
Yep. Yeah. I was thinking of that very thing. Shout out to Daniel Coquelette, the former dean of Boston College Law School, raised as a Quaker.
Okay.
All right. There we go with the cult, religion. Who knows? I don't know enough about it, but they make a good oat.
I know the man makes a good oat.
Yeah, that's what they want you to think.
Yeah, big oats.
Big oat.
After we've talked about some serious shit.
Yeah. Have we? Yes, I guess we.
Something that I do sometimes when I've talked about some serious shit with somebody, and I'm like, I want to sign off for the night, like texting someone, whatever, but I don't want to leave it there. I'm like, tell me something nice. And it could be anything. And I'll also be like, well, here's something nice to leave you on. So tell me something nice. That car in front of us says Wantagh, Long Island, which is where MJ grew up.
Okay, what are the odds?
I mean, they're not nothing, I guess.
They're 100% right now.
Yeah, that's not how odds work.
Yeah. So, yeah, niceness. Well, oh, I have a thing.
Okay.
I have a thing.
Great.
All right. So, I don't know if I can do this before we get to Redacted. So, I'm getting ready to give this Devar Torah, I'm told, for Yom Kippur. I talk about the two goats, basically.
Yes.
So I ran it by the Lubavitchers that came to visit me two Fridays ago.
You gave them your type five.
I gave them my type five, and it wasn't much. Some observations and stuff. I basically, real short version, the two goats, neither one of them did real well. You know, they didn't fare that well. So it was kind of a bad thing for the goats. But, you know, the goat that was sacrificed to God, so this is trying to, I guess, keep God happy, as far as I know, and do the right thing. And then the goat that they put the sins of the community on the goat's head and send it into the wild in an attempt to sort of purify and improve the community. And that's good. But even better, what I like even better is this custom that's come up for people to confess their sins to each other, how they've wronged one member of the community talking to another, members of the community talking to each other, and that's even better for my money. I didn't have much more than that at that point, but there were three guys there, and they always have the taller one in the front, young guy. And he, how do I put this? I mean, so I have a history with them of mostly feeling kind of guilty. And like back in the day, I used to, ended up telling him, don't come by anymore because you just want me to put on tefillin and I'm not going to do it. And, you know, this is like not working for me, this relationship. Mm-hmm. But these days I'm like, I kind of enjoy talking to them and we schmooze and, you know, they're mostly pleasant. And there's three of them are standing there and he looks at me and he was beaming. He was so happy with me. And I knew this even more when, so then they take their leave of me because I had started by saying I'm pretty busy. He's walking away and then he turns around and he says, do you mind if I like repeat that at our Shabbat like dinner, like our gathering? I mean, I just never in a million years did I expect that I would, I mean, that it was like a genuine, he was so pleased. So that was nice. Mm-hmm. It was a warm and fuzzy moment, surprising everybody involved, I think. Mm-hmm. So there you go. If you had asked me to predict would that kind of thing ever happen, I would have said no. Mm-hmm. What are the odds? Zero. Low. Yeah, very low. Okay. I hope I didn't bend your ear too much on that.
Not at all.
Okay. Well.
I love you. Get home safe.
Thanks. I'm going to do the handshake again.
Okay. Cowabunga.
Cowabunga.